Look tonight in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 31. Genesis, chapter 31. I told you this morning the title of the message I'm going to preach to you tonight on this topic, Sitting on Your Sin. Sitting on Your Sin. Let's look here at Genesis 31 and verse 34, and you're going to see this in the story in the Bible tonight. Genesis 31 and verse 34. Let's go back to and begin reading there in verse 25. Genesis 31, 25. The Bible says, Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, What hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp? And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters, thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, Take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, Because I was afraid, for I said, Peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy God, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. Jacob did not know at this point that his wife, Rachel, had actually stolen these little statues, some of these golden statues or images from her father, Laban. Rachel was the one who stole them. She was the thief. She was the one who had stolen these things from Laban's house. And look what it says in verse 33. And Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. Here we see Rachel had stolen these golden statue or idol from her father Laban, and she was sitting on it. I don't understand exactly what it means, but perhaps if they were traveling by camel, maybe if you think of like a saddlebags or something, if you will, maybe it had been put into the saddlebags and maybe that had been taken and in the tent, and somehow now she is sitting there on it in the tent. She's sitting on what she had stolen. She was sitting on her sin. And then she, of course, told a lie and told a fib, I believe, to her father-in-law that she couldn't get up. And so she had stolen, and now she was hiding it by sitting on her sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to speak to us tonight and use the truth of your word to challenge us and help us in our lives. May we be very honest with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this story that we read here, Rachel was very literally sitting on her sin, wasn't she? She had stolen the statue, stolen perhaps a golden statue or idol, and now she was hiding it by sitting on the statue, the idol. She was hiding and covering what she had stolen from her father, and then lying and being dishonest about it, saying that she could not get up. You know, very sadly, what we see in this story of Rachel literally sitting on her sin is what Christians do today. Maybe not literally sitting on it, but we sit on our sin. And many times Christians, they sit on their sin to hide it. They sit on their sin to try to cover it. They sit on their sin to think, well, if I can hide it, if I can cover it, nobody will ever know. If I can sit on it, if I can hide it, if I can cover it, maybe God will never even know. I'm sorry, we may think that, but it's nothing. It's hidden from God. We cannot hide our sin. We cannot sit on our sin. We cannot cover our sin. And it's sad that God's people are often trying to do that. We try to hide and cover our sins rather than confessing and forsaking our sin. People often even tell a lie to cover up their sin, and I think that's what Rachel did as well. People end up committing more sin by lying to try to cover up their sin. Sometimes when people have done wrong and they have to hide it, they have to hide it from their wife or hide it from their parents or hide it from a friend or hide it from their parents, whoever it may be, they may end up having to tell more lies to end up making a cover-up to try to hide the fact that they've done wrong. Little children can do that. Listen, when a little child does something, you know what their natural reaction is? It's to hide it. It's to cover it. It's amazing how a little child can have done something wrong or something that, you know, they know they shouldn't do, and mom or dad have told them not to do, and then they can just, oh no, I never did that. Have you ever had a child who, you know, you ask them, you know, maybe they've taken some markers or pens and they've written on a wall or they've... You know, they've taken and they've colored all over something that they probably should not have. And yes, were you playing with the markers? Were you writing all? And here they're out and they're no. And maybe they're hiding it behind them. Or here's one that's happened in our home before with some little people. There's marker all over their face. Were you playing with the markers? No. Listen, we don't do a very good job hiding it. We cannot hide our sin from God. We cannot cover our sin from God, but yet that's what we try to do. We try to hide it. We try to cover our sin. Do you know that was the first reaction of Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve's natural reaction in the Garden of Eden, their first reaction was to hide and cover up their sin. We know when they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and life that God told them they were not supposed to and so on. What happened? They immediately recognized their nakedness. They were shamed. They had now sinned. They had disobeyed God. And immediately there was the guilt by it. And what did they try to do? They tried to make a covering for themselves. They tried to hide it themselves, sewing the fig leaves together or sewing the leaves together and so on. They tried to hide or to cover up their sin. You know what, sometimes we as parents too will find little children hiding from us and maybe being very quiet when they know they've done something wrong. When kids are quiet, there's something to be concerned about. What have they gotten into? What have they maybe done that they're not supposed to? Quiet is sometimes a bad sign around our place. You expect some noise out of little children. But if everything's quiet, we're concerned. We're worried about that. Oh, you know what, Adam and Eve, they were, what was happening? They were trying to hide from the presence of God. When God came to walk and talk with them in the cool of the garden like He'd done at other times. Now, where art thou? Where art thou? You know what? They were hiding from the presence of God. They were trying to hide and make a covering for their sin. I have an admission for you. When I was a kid, not a real small kid, maybe even around Eric's age or something like that, possibly. I was over at the Bartz's house. This was a family in our church. He was an assistant pastor in our church. He was the principal of our Christian school, and. When I was a kid, we were over, and I think several kids. In my mind, I think it was a birthday party, actually, for his son. And they were probably having things that day, maybe hot dogs or something. And there was some relish. And as a little child, I don't even know why, but as I remember this story very clearly. As a little child, I remember, for whatever reason, not liking the relish. I did not like the relish, and I think they took they took these hot dogs, whatever, and they made the hot dogs, and they put ketchup on them, put relish on them, put all this stuff on them, and I didn't like the relish. So I took the relish off my hot dog, and I put it in my pocket to try to hide it. And then later, after the meal, I went downstairs in the basement, and I took it out of my pocket, because you don't want to have relish in your pocket, and I took it out of my pocket. And I wiped it on the back of a couch. You know what? I thought I was hiding my sin, didn't I? I thought I was hiding it. I thought I was covering up. Do you know the very same night I got found out? They found that relish. They somehow knew that I'd been sneaky. And they found that relish on the back of the couch. And boy, did I ever get in trouble. I got in trouble from Pastor and Mrs. Bartz. I got in trouble when I got home. Why? Because I was trying to hide and I was trying to cover up my sin. Listen, God doesn't want us to sit on our sin. God doesn't want us to try to hide our sin or to cover up our sin. Look at a story with me real quickly over in Joshua chapter number 7. Joshua chapter number 7. And we'll look at verse 19. Joshua 7 and verse 19. We won't read the whole story. We'll just read a couple verses. But some of you would know Joshua, the people of Israel. They'd gone into the promised land and they conquered the city of Jericho. You know, the city with the walls around it. Great story, awesome story. The walls came tumbling down. And Jericho, city of Jericho, was defeated. But God had made something very clear to His people that everything in the city of Jericho, they weren't supposed to touch any of it. They weren't supposed to, you know, try to take the gold there, take the silver, take any of the, you know, things that were in the people's houses. All of it was really to be God's. As the first city that was conquered in the promised land, everything in that first city was to be God's. They weren't going to be allowed to keep any of it for themselves. Kind of like the tithe, actually. But they weren't supposed to touch it. They weren't supposed to take it. God made it clear, it's mine. Well, there was one man named Achan. He didn't listen to the instruction. He didn't listen to what God wanted. And Achan went and took some of the things. He stole what God said is not supposed to be taken. And he took it and he kept it for himself. And we see what happened. Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 19. Joshua 7 verse 19. Joshua 7 to Achan. My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. And make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Achan was trying to hide his sin. And you know where he actually hid it? If we read the whole story, he hid it in his tent. He dug a hole underneath his tent. So you know what? So that he could bury it in his tent and he could sit on it. He'd be able to hide it. He could have it hid underneath his tent and he could sit on it and think, nobody will ever find out. I've got it in the secret place. Nobody will ever see it. We could sit on it. We could cover it. We could hide it. And I'll never get found out. Well, you know what? He did get found out. He did get found out when he was trying to hide his sin, when he was trying to cover his sin. Listen, unconfessed sins, hidden sins will not go unnoticed or unpunished by God. One day everything will be uncovered and made known. Do you know that the people of Israel, they ended up defeating that great walled city of Jericho. But when they went to the next city, a smaller city, a city that didn't have the defenses and didn't have at all the protection of Jericho, when they went to that small next city named Ai, they were defeated. They were defeated at Ai. And why was it? It was because of Achan's sin. The Bible makes that very clear if we read it. Because of Achan's sin and because he tried to hide his sin and cover up his sin, God was not going to be with them. God wasn't going to bless his people as long as Achan was there committing sin and trying to hide his sin and trying to cover up his sin. God in the story said, He said to Joshua, there's some sin in the camp that needs to be taken care of. Somebody sinned against me and they're hiding their sin and they're covering their sin. They've been sitting on their sin and they can't do that. It's going to have to be made right. If I'm going to bless my people, that sin cannot be hidden. That sin cannot be covered. It needs to be confessed and things need to be made right. Listen, since everything's going to be uncovered and made known one day, we might as well get right with the Lord now. Because He knows now. He knows everything. Let's us do a little Bible study tonight quickly, if you will, and look at a few verses from the Scripture that I think can teach us something about this thing of sitting on our sin. Sitting on our sin. Look with me to the book of Job, chapter 34. Job chapter 34 and verse number 21. Job 34 and verse 21. Another verse in Job, the Bible says this, chapter 28:11. It says about God, and the thing that is hid bringeth He forth to light. And the thing that is hid bringeth He forth to light. You know, God will bring things into the light. He'll make everything be seen clearly. Sins that are done in secret are not done in secret from God. We can think, well, I can commit my sin and it's okay. Nobody knows about it. I can hide it. Nobody knows. Listen, God knows. There is nothing that is done in secret from God. We cannot hide it from Him. Job 34 and verse 21 and verse 22 says this, "For His eyes are upon the ways of man, and He seeth all his goings. There is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves." God says, we can't commit sin and then hide and think, well, God never knows, God's never going to see, He's never going to find out. He does see. He does see. Look with me over at Psalm chapter 69. And again, we're going to be real quick. We're just going to go from verse to verse tonight. A few verses that will teach us this truth and then what to do about it. What to do about it. Psalm 69 and verse 5 says this, "O God, Thou knowest. Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee." Look at Proverbs chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. Proverbs 5 and verse 21. The Bible says, "Therefore the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all his goings." That just means God sees all our ways. God sees all our actions. God knows. Listen, it's not hidden from God. We can't sit on our sin or hide our sin or cover our sin. God sees it. God sees it. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 3. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Lest we be totally discouraged by all these verses, hey, remember something in that verse is positive. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding both the evil and the good." And the good. So you know what? If you do good, God sees that too. Always remember that. God sees when we do evil. God sees when we sin. But He sees the good that we do. And He appreciates that. And He's honored and blessed by that. Listen, God sees though. For the point of our message, God sees our sin. It's not hidden. It's not secret from Him. He knows. Turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 17. Jeremiah 16, chapter 16, verse 17 says this, "For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes." Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 19. Jeremiah 32 and verse 19. The Bible says there, "Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." You know how God rewards us? According to our ways. You know how God blesses us? In accordance to our ways. He watches. He sees. And He sees the good and He sees the evil. And He will bless us according to that. He will judge us according to that. He'll reward us according to that. And we need to remember, things are not done in secret because God always sees. God always sees. Nothing can be hidden from Him. Turn over to the New Testament. A couple of verses there. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We see this truth in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament also. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 26. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. The Bible says there, "Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed." And again, nothing hid. And nothing hid that shall not be known. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Nothing hid that shall not be known. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 22. Mark chapter 4 and verse 22. Here Jesus says, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested." The word manifested means completely made known. "Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 17. Luke 8:17 says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3. Luke 12, verses 2 and 3 says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." He says, listen, there's nothing that's done in secret that shall not be made known. God sees in secret. God knows. And He will make it known. He will bring things into the light. We can't think, well, I'm getting away with it. I'm hiding everything. I'm covering everything. Nobody knows. God knows. Remember that God sees everything that you do. We can't hide our sin from God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. We'll read verse 13 to 15. The Bible says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Listen, God says there's a day when every man's work, every man's deeds and so on, listen, all of it will be made known. All of it will be manifest. And there will be rewards for good things, but listen, we'll not be rewarded for the bad things. We will certainly not. There is judgment and punishment that comes here upon this earth. We know that if you're saved, a child of God will not be eternally punished. But listen, God knows now. God sees what's done in secret, and He can judge that. And He says things will be made manifest, that one day I'll even reward you for those good things that you've done. Nothing is secret. Nothing is hidden from Him. Chapter 4 and verse 5 says this, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God." He says, don't you judge anything before it. Don't be too hasty to judge something before it's time. Because God one day will be the ultimate judge. And anything done in darkness, He's going to bring it into the light. And God will be the one who can reward where there's just reward. And realize that over here, there was no reward due. Because He knows the truth. And He knows what was done in secret. And He knows the counsels of the heart. He knows it all. Sins that are done in secret, they're not secret from God. When we do wrong, we can't think with God, well, I can go bury it and I can hide my sin and I can just sit on it. Nobody knows. God doesn't know. No, God knows when you're sitting on. God knows when we're sitting on our sin. God knows when we're hiding our sin. God knows when we're trying to cover our sin. Well, they think, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm hiding it from my wife. I'm hiding it from my parents. I'm hiding it from the pastor. You're not hiding it from God. You can hide it from everybody else. You can for a while, but you can never hide your sin from God. You can't. You can't. What are we going to do about it? We must not sit on our sin. We must not try to hide or cover our sin, but instead must make things right with the Lord. Since He knows about it anyways, don't you think we might as well just make it right with Him? Wouldn't you rather make it right with the Lord now than one day Him have to bring it out into the light in front of everybody? Boy, I'd rather just make things right with the Lord now, because I think in the Lord's forgiveness, He won't necessarily bring those things out in front of everybody later. I'd rather make things right with Him now and make sure that we're right in our heart and right in our life and that nothing is hidden. Look at a few verses with me and we'll be done. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 1. Back in the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 32 and verse number 1. Let's not sit on our sin. Let's not try to hide it or cover it. Let's make things right with the Lord. Right away. Right away. Psalm 32 and verse 1 says, "Blessed is he. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Not that it's covered and hidden by us, but it's God who's forgiven it and God who's made an atonement for it. And God's covering our sin. "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. Now what he's saying there in verse 3 and 4, he's saying, boy, it was so heavy on me. It was when I kept my silence, when I was trying to hide my sin, when I was trying to sit on my sin and cover my sin, when I kept my silence about it and would not confess it to God and would not forsake it and would not make it right, boy, it was heavy on my spirit. It was heavy on my heart. Listen, you can't live with hidden sin in our life and not make it right with the Lord and it not be heavy upon us. A heavy burden that we're carrying around with us. It will be heavy on our souls when we live with hidden sin. But he says we'll be blessed and happy in our soul if we'll make things right with God. We'll be blessed. The word blessed sometimes in Scripture really has the meaning of being happy. Listen, wouldn't you far rather be happy in your soul and happy in your life knowing that, yes, I had sin, but I confessed it and I forsook it and I got God's forgiveness and things are right between me and the Lord, rather than going around with sin that we're sitting on, sin that we're trying to hide, sin that we're trying to cover. And it weighs heavy on our soul. It weighs heavy on our heart. We need to make it right with Him. Verse 5 says, I acknowledged my sin unto Thee. When he stopped keeping his silence about it and trying to hide it and trying to cover it, when he acknowledged his sin unto Thee, it says, I acknowledge my sin unto Thee and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Boy, the psalmist was so glad. It was going from a heavy burden and a heavy heart and a heavy soul, knowing that, boy, there's sin and I've tried to cover it. I've tried to keep quiet about it. But when he acknowledged it and confessed it to God, he said, oh, now I'm happy. Now there's peace because I know I'm forgiven. He says, now I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Knowing of God's forgiveness, we need to do the same thing. Don't sit on our sin. Don't hide it. Don't cover it. Don't keep silent about it. Confess it to God and make it right. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse number 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. There's two truths and promises in that verse. If we try to cover our sin, we try to hide our sin, we try to sit on our sin, listen, God says you will not prosper. God will not let us prosper in our life. God will not let us prosper in our Christian life if we're going to sit on our sin. He won't let us prosper if we're going to hide our sin. Others may think, oh, you're doing okay. We will not be prospering. Our soul will not be prospering. We will not prosper in our Christian life if we are trying to hide and cover our sin. But then he says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Isn't that a wonderful promise? If we'll confess and forsake our sin, we'll have mercy. God will show mercy to us. We can think, oh, no, if God knew what I did wrong, oh, no, I'd be in big trouble. No, God already knows what He did wrong. He knows what I did wrong. He doesn't say, oh, you'll be in big trouble. He says, no, you'll have mercy. And you'll have forgiveness. Let's confess and let's forsake. And let's not think, well, I can hide it from Him. No, He already knows. If we confess and forsake it, God will show mercy to you. He'll show mercy. He'll then allow you to prosper. You won't prosper otherwise. We can't sit on our sin. We can't hide it. We can't try to cover it. Will not prosper that way. Two other verses, Psalm 51 and 1 John. Look at just those places. Psalm 51 first in the Old Testament, Psalm 51. And several of you probably would know this Psalm 51 was written by David after he had sinned. He had committed a gross sin, we would say. He'd committed adultery. But his heart was drastically changed. First, of course, he tried to hide his sin, didn't he? He tried to cover it up. When he committed sin with Bathsheba, he ended up sending Bathsheba's husband into the front of battle and had him killed, even had murder committed, just to again try to hide and cover up his sin. He had tried to bring her husband home for a while to try to get people to think that she got pregnant because he was home for a little while. No. He was doing everything he can for a while to try to hide and cover his sin, but he didn't prosper that way. And he finally comes to a place of brokenness where he confesses and forsakes his sin. Psalm 51:1, "Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." We have to acknowledge it to God to have His mercy and forgiveness. Down in verse 6 it says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." God wants us to come clean. He wants us to be honest with Him. "Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And then in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know what? David's spirit was not right when he had committed sin and was trying to hide and cover up his sin. And it never will be. Never will be. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 1. Some of you could even quote these verses, but 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, towards the very end of your New Testament, says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." I say, "Oh, I don't got any sin." "Oh, yeah, right. You're sitting on your sin. You're hiding your sin. You're covering your sin." God says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." God desires truth in the inward parts. He wants us to come clean with Him. Be honest with Him. Acknowledge and admit our sin. Because when we confess and forsake our sin, He'll forgive us. Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Listen, when we stop trying to hide our sin or cover our sin, God says, "I'll show mercy." When we confess our sin and forsake our sin, He'll forgive us. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's His desire. That's His desire. Let's not sit on our sin. Let's not try to hide our sin. Let's not try to cover our sin. Be honest with God in every detail, in everything of your life. Don't sit on sin. Don't hide it. Don't try to cover it. He already knows anyways. Make things right every day between you and the Lord. Confess and forsake sin, and He'll show mercy. And He'll show forgiveness. And He'll allow you to prosper. Don't think you're prospering if you're hiding and covering sin. It doesn't matter if others think good of you. You know, think, "Oh, they're just wonderful. Look at them." God knows the truth about us. We can hide nothing from Him. And if there's things that are hidden to the eyes of man, they're not hidden from God. Remember that. And let's confess it and forsake it, admit it, and realize God will show mercy and God will show forgiveness to you.